You were telling me about the way that all of these climate changes are being tracked through technology. The technology is really, really cool and also highly specific, detailed, and complex, right? In terms of the computer programs, that's what you were telling me about, the computer programs that can actually make these climate models and show how air is changing, how weather patterns are changing. Has there ever been a time in which one of these climate models was wildly off? Like, wildly off. Something entered into the atmosphere that could not be predicted. Like, I'm wondering even if things like Chernobyl or historical events were something dramatic or the releasing of the atom bomb. Has there ever been a time in recent history where the modeling has been very off? Just out of
Well,
curiosity.
yeah, if you look at the spaghetti plots, some of them get it wrong, some more than others. But you talk about history, there was a time when an atom bomb test in, I believe it was Nevada, released a bunch of radioactivity that went up in the air and it drifted east in one of these blocks of air that I was talking about earlier, and it came over Troy, and over Troy the conditions were such that it rained. And the radioactive fallout fell on Troy, and Troy actually became rather radioactive. And
When
so,
was this?
oh, I'd have to look that up because I don't remember that stuff accurately enough. But,
60s? 70s?
sure.
Talk about a hard rain's gonna fall right here on Troy. That's pretty crazy.
Well, the reason I bring this up is because people went back and looked at the weather. And the weather data was not as good as it is these days, and the computer models didn't exist then. But by looking back with a little bit of hindsight and good physics, they could actually trace how the radioactivity went from this bomb test across the United States and happened to come down in Troy.
How did they know that the city became a little radiated?
Somebody with a Geiger counter found out that, hey, there's a lot more radioactivity than background. Background is a relatively well-known number, and all of a sudden there was a very high spike in the radioactivity around here.
Wow, that's really interesting. Do you feel like it was pretty random that the rain fell on Troy? Or, I mean, why not the whole capital region?
Oh.
Or was it the whole capital region?
Well, I know about Troy because that's where the history started. Somebody from RPI, I believe, noticed it. But when you say it's random, well, is it random that the weather today is predicted from 3 days ago? There are a lot of, I'll call them random processes in the weather between there and here. But by making very good educated guesses in terms of the parameters of sunlight reflectivity, cloud water content, energy in, momentum in and out, computer models can actually do a very good job of understanding how this very complex process, what we call weather, actually develops and happens around us.
And you would say that the same processes could be applied to climate, that the same devices and methods and models used for the weather are also applied to climate. So the Arctic ice sheet and the rate at which it's melting is being tracked by computer programs that are similar to what's used with weather patterns.
Yes, that's right. We can tell that there is more energy being absorbed in the Arctic because the Arctic ice is melting, and that means you've got water instead of ice. And obviously, water is much darker than ice, and so that the water absorbs more energy and than what the ice does. As the water absorbs more energy, it melts more ice. And so there's a very clear example of how these boxes, the parameters, change with climate change.
So physically, how often does a scientist who cares about the Arctic ice sheet have to physically go there? I mean, so much of it sounds like is being done by remote, by these computer models with radar. So, yeah, what's the physical connection in the research?
Well, I know people who do this as their job, so I'm going to do a poor job compared to what they would. But they would look at very specific areas and say, okay, this lake is on the ice, and so a lake on the ice has this energy absorption, whereas ice has this different solar absorption, whereas seawater has this other different. and they would measure these quantities so they would have a better understanding of the parameters to put into the global circulation models.
Cool. Okay, I'll stop bugging you with that question. I was going to say, is physical contact with their areas of research necessary? I would imagine yes.
Well, yes. The more data you can put in that is correct data, the better your result is going to be coming out. All of these things are somewhat approximations, but they're getting better and better all the time.
Before we end, what would you like to tell us about climate and weather in Troy? Do you have any updates on climate and weather in Troy?
In the 70s, I was up here, and the ice was so thick that two Coast Guard cutters got stuck just south of the Menands Bridge. They could not get through the ice. It was that thick. It was great fun to watch them try. They just couldn't do it. Now, these days, the cutters are pretty good at keeping open the Hudson River.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, are you saying that that's related to climate change, or are you just observing, you know, just observing technology changing with cutting through the ice?
No, I'm saying that it's very hard to say that any one particular thing, like a specific hurricane or a specific drought that causes fires in the West, specific rainstorm that causes mudslides, is the result of climate change. It's not the result, it's a result. In other words, the climate is changing, and that means weather is changing, and as a result of all that, things are changing that we can observe.
Well, any last physics messages for us?
Well, physics...
It's cool to think about those models, and like you're saying, all the equations, the rapid physics equations that are constantly being calculated, right, to get this climate and weather information.
Yes. Now, if you think of conservation of energy, that's a pretty simple thing. Energy in plus energy out plus or minus whatever is added or subtracted. The same thing with momentum. The same thing with mass. That's pretty obvious. But when you try to put it into something as complex as the way the air moves, then it's really spectacular that these global circulation models do as good a job as they do.
Do any of them run on solar power?
No, I believe maybe the ones in Norway, because most of the electricity in Norway is generated by water hydropower, and hydropower is there because the sun has lifted the water up. So I'm going to call that solar energy. So computers run in Norway probably are run on solar electricity.
That's so cool. Well, thank you, Dr. Barton. Can you give us updates as you build more and more of the solar boats and updates on the boat in Kingston?
I'd be happy to do that.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Barton.
Thank you, Megan. It's always a pleasure.